Hi, my name is Jerry Mullins, and I am being considered as an elder at Mountain View. We'd like to give the church family the opportunity to respond to elder nomination. If you have any questions or concerns about my nomination, please connect with me either by phone, email, or in person. And God bless you.
Amen. Well, good morning, Mountain View. Good morning to those of you online. Some of you guys wondering, who is that guy with the really cool beard? I tell you, that's Jerry Mullins Sr., down from the former Riverside Orange campus down there. Godly man that we're looking at for eldership. He was been an elder many times, was at Riverside as well. I can tell you this. You may know him better than I do, but the very first time I ever met him, almost 2 years ago, as we were talking about the possibility of what was happening down at Riverside, and when that man prayed over me, every hair on my body stood up. I knew I was in the presence of someone who walked intimately with the Lord. Now, I'm not trying to sway anybody's saying, but let me tell you what I discovered that night. There's somebody that I could spend time with and learn something from. So the elders are looking at Jerry, and the way we do things around here is we have 2 weeks, give people the opportunity to talk with him, questions, concerns, speak to him, speak to the elders, and we don't go any further with it until the church body has the opportunity to speak into this potential nomination. So that's Jerry with the cool ZZ Top beard. Yeah, that's who it is. Love the guy. So guys, thank you for joining us here. We're in this third part of the series. If you've been tracking with us for the last couple of weeks since Resurrection Sunday, as we've been talking about this whole idea of looking at the cross a little more thoroughly. On Resurrection Sunday, I stood before you and said, for me, the wisdom of the cross, the first piece of wisdom was to don't bet against the house. We don't bet against the promises and the principles and the plans of God. At the end of the day, we will be on the right side of eternity or the right side of Jesus or on the wrong side. I pray that each and every one of us will be on that winning side because of our faith in Jesus Christ. Last week, as we talked about the wisdom of the cross, we talked about that divine initiative is exactly that. It was God's initiative. God is the one who pursues. Then this is a whole big deal because, you know, we might think, oh, I've run, I never can find him, I never can catch up, and I always make too many mistakes. Yet I turn around, there he is. Because on the cross, he reminded that God was pursuing humanity even in its sinless state. While we were yet sinners, Romans 5:8 says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There's the pursuit. And so today, we're beginning the week three. It's got something I want to share with you, and I'm going to kind of front-end it with some things that I learned as I was studying. And so I started preparing the message, and I began thinking about this question as I was going through the passage. I'm just basically picking up where I left off last week in Corinthians. I began wondering that why are we as a people so fixated on celebrating accomplishments rather than honoring character? Now, we may do both, but you've been there, and so have I. I mean, I've planned them. I've led them. You get the birthday parties, the graduations, the award ceremonies. You've either done them or you've been sitting there listening to parents and coaches and teachers go on and on and on about the list of individual accomplishments here, there, and everywhere. But you're sitting there and you're looking at that. Maybe it's a student, maybe it's your spouse, and you're going, but there's more to that person. I know that person has a strong faith. I know that person has a wonderful character. I know that that individual has made a lot of really good choices, one after another, to get them to where they are today. But if you've been sitting there, you realize that most often those things aren't mentioned in the praise reports. Around my house, raising 3 daughters, I hear my wife often quote the scripture at least once a week. Go ahead and put it up. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Now, as I thought about what she's saying, I'm kind of going back to this whole idea. I'm not going to answer this question today. It'd be a great conversation over dinner. Is this accomplishment-based or choice-based? What is John, that beloved disciple, referring to when he's talking about those who walk with the Lord? Their accomplishments or their choices? I don't have the answer. Just something I'll throw out there for you. I believe it's true because I believe that our God is our Heavenly Father. He enjoys watching you and me, His children, walk in the truth, but also walk out the truth, not walk out of the truth, but walk out the truth in our everyday lives. I mean, it goes both ways. He desires us to walk in it so that we can walk it out. That's what He desires us to do. But as I'm working on that, I start thinking about, it's been a long time ago, parenting classes. I remember this quote. I had to go back and try to find it, but this was the quote I remember. I said my brain was everywhere with this whole idea of accomplishments and choices. But I remember parenting class way back then. This comment was this: praise accomplishments, strengthen behaviors. Praise choices strengthen the heart. Praise accomplishments strengthen behaviors. Nothing wrong with that, but praise someone's choices and you strengthen their heart. Now, as I said, this is all coming out as I'm getting ready to go into that scripture, because when we praise choices, what are we doing is this. I'm praising what someone values, because what someone values determines decisions that we make most often. We make our decisions based on what we value. So if a person has chosen to value this, I'm going to honor that value, and I'm going to honor that decision that they made based on that value. Why? Because we're going to be in circumstances all the days of our lives, every single one of us going round and round and round. And when we've honored that value in someone's life, when they get to that situation again where they need to make a wise choice, they're going to be stronger because they've been encouraged and praised for the character choice they made last time. Like I said, this whole idea is batting around in my mind after I start studying the passage, but I front-ended the passage with this to go back and say, I believe the Apostle Paul is talking about this very thing. Because when he talks to the church of Corinth, he begins to, I think, kind of get away, if he ever was there at all, gets away from accomplishment gazing like we love to do. We love, look what people accomplish. And he helped me look at the cross and really begin to say, you know what, God, it is you that restores, it is you that remakes, it is you that renews. How do you go about doing that? And so I began looking at the scripture, and he starts off with something that often isn't the most uplifting part of the passage, but it is very powerful. Look at what he said to the people of Corinth. Brothers and sisters, just as relevant today, brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many of you were influential. Not many of you were of noble birth. Doesn't that just inspire the heck out of you? You know, you just tell him he's kind of bringing you on down here. Not many of you. Look, church, look at the membership of Corinth 21 centuries later. Look around Mountain View. At least back then, he says, not many of you were famous, if any. Not many of you were wealthy or highly educated or powerful or influential. As a matter of fact, if you had influence, if you had power, if you had wealth, when you gave your life to Christ in that culture, you obviously lost a lot of that, because the people around you didn't take kindly to that sect called the Way that you just gave your affinity to. So you probably lost some of that. So Paul, for me, as I'm studying the scripture, it's almost like this. Look, hey, Corinthian. Hey, Mountain Viewer, if you want to celebrate your accomplishments, especially if you want to celebrate the accomplishment of salvation, don't you dare pat yourself on the back. As a matter of fact, if you had some wealth, you had some charisma, you had all these things, as a matter of fact, you were saved in spite of it. Anybody thankful? No matter what you had or didn't have, that you were saved in spite of all that. That's exactly what's going on, man. You give God the praise for that. That's a choice he made. Folks, we want to celebrate that. We realize we can't celebrate that accomplishment because Christ did it on our behalf. Now, we have a hard time with this. Maybe I do. Because that linear, concrete thinking of our brain, especially children, we can think abstractly. We can comprehend this as adults. But sometimes we act like kids because in our human thinking, strength is strength. Weakness is weakness. Intelligence is intelligence. And we cheer being strong. Just what we do. But I recognize in God's economy, maybe you don't think this way all the time, but in God's economy, the seemingly strongest things are often the weakest, and the seemingly wisest things are often the most foolish. And as I'm studying the scripture, I'm thinking, man, God, you really don't spend a lot of time looking at accomplishments, do you? You don't sit there and just cheer the accomplishments as much as you do focusing on the heart of every human being and the choices that we're making every single day. You see, I believe this to be true. In fact, I know it is, depending on what situation you put yourself in. You and I can be, in any given moment of any given day, the most uneducated and untalented person in the room. Put me up here, I might be in the top 50%. Put me on a fishing boat, I'm in the bottom 0.5%. Because I don't know how to fish. I don't know how to talk the language. I did a little bit of it. I enjoy it, but I'm probably the most uneducated and the most untalented. Most of us can find a scenario where we're going to be in that situation. But think about spiritually for a minute. This whole upside down principle with the cross. You can be the most uneducated, the most untalented, maybe the most awkward believer who has trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, and you could be considered by God immeasurably wiser than the most brilliant PhD that scoffs at the gospel. You think about that a second, I don't think so. But think about it. Why? Because you, as a believer in Jesus Christ, you have recognized the need and you've made a choice. More than likely, many choices over time where you have chosen the forgiveness of God. You've made a decision. You've chosen to receive His love, accept His grace, walk out His life, walk in His hope, believe in God, and you're able by the wisdom of God to see into eternity. But the unbelieving PhD, think about it. All he has is his books. All she has is her own mind and her own experience. She has nothing beyond this life, and in God's eyes cannot be considered anything but foolish. Think about it. Totally upside down. Look what the Apostle Paul said as he continued. God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are. It's almost like, and I don't think God mocks, but I mean, that's a debate, but I think God's mocking the scorecard of the world. Achievement, achievement, achievement. Accomplishment, accomplishment, accomplishment. When God is looking at choice, 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 and matters of the heart. The world says, look, you're foolish, you're weak. I started thinking about that scripture going, wait a minute. How many times is a believer, whether people say it out loud, they may say it behind your back, or they say it inadvertently through a post on Facebook about people like you, who believe in somebody like him. And people say, you look foolish. You look weak. You look lowly and despised. Maybe you grew up in that dysfunctional home, and I don't want to trigger anybody today, and so forgive me for it. Just hear it intentionally through the lens of what I'm trying to say. But maybe you grew up in the home where you heard somebody say, you're never going to accomplish anything. You're never going to make much of yourself. You're never going to compete for much. You're never going to have many accolades coming your way. It's all about the achievement. Not many of these are coming at a boy, at a girl. But something when I was actually typing those words out, thinking of things that I've heard, things that I've heard you say to me, I could not help but come back to the very first three words. Go ahead and put that back on the screen. What are those first three words of verse 27? But God chose. I don't care, and God didn't care what the world says about you. The lowly, the afflicted, the foolish, the despised. God says to the wisdom of the cross, I've got my own scorecard. When I look at your life, when he looks at my life, those of you online with me right now, when he looks at your life, God says, I've got a whole different scorecard. He's almost saying, look, no matter who you are, where you've come from, what you've done, understand that the greatness, God would say, the greatness of my power at work in the lives of those who choose me will demonstrate for all the world to see that the world's nobodies can become somebodies in Jesus. Anybody thankful that you became a somebody because of him? Anybody? That's what I'm saying. And being a somebody in the eyes of God is not always about your accomplishments. Because that can lead us so astray, whether we feel like we've done enough, that we get complacent, or we feel like we never can do enough, we always feel defeated. There's a lose-lose in that if we're not careful. So it's not always about that, but it's who we're becoming as we trust him by faith. So for me, God's primary focus is your choices. It's my choices. It's your character. It's my character. Why? You say, Mark, I hear you saying that, but why? I always love that scripture, I believe, answers it before we can ever ask the question. Look what he said in verse 29. So that, there's the answer to why, so that no one may boast before him. Not a one of us here. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us the wisdom of God. That is our righteousness, our holiness, and our redemption. I love this passage. We need to flash back to the cross a whole lot more often than I know I do, to remind ourselves, you're a follower of Jesus Christ here, those of you online, there's absolutely nothing about that ability to be a follower of Christ that we can boast about. There's nothing. In the wisdom of God, one of the primary purposes of the cross for me is that for all time, God receives all glory, amen? For everything. No man, woman, boy, or girl will ever have reason to boast before God in ourselves. What did we do besides make choices to believe in what he already accomplished and what he already said? We boast and we celebrate. Here's the transition happened for me when I thought, I could really get fixated on accomplishments, but I could also be celebrating God for who you're becoming. Who you're becoming. Those of you online, who you're becoming, whom I'm becoming, and the decisions that we're making. As a matter of fact, there was something in that passage that made me go deeper that I didn't expect to, but I'm really glad I did. Maybe it was just for me, but I want to share a bit of it with you just for a minute. The Bible says that Jesus Christ became the wisdom of God. Think about it. Jesus lived in this earthly frame for 3 years, died on a cross, rose again from the dead, lives inside of every believer around the world. Amazing. The very knowledge of God applied in this world in the form of Christ. The wisdom of, he becomes the wisdom of God. And the Bible says he becomes, he's our righteousness, our sanctification, our redemption. And I started thinking, are those things that we can say are our accomplishments? Are things that we're becoming. I really started looking at the words a little bit differently. He says, first, you get the wisdom of God. Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. When you give your heart to Jesus Christ, we receive a wisdom and a knowledge that is not of ourselves. One, to really understand the scripture, to understand life. Think about this. Maybe I'm speaking to somebody here, some of you online. Maybe you don't follow Christ yet. Not quite sure, but listen. Apart from Christ, what are we left with? What are we left with? We fend for ourselves, trying to figure things out on our own. We live for the moment. We have no idea who we are, why we're here, where we're going. We really don't understand why we're here to begin with. We have no starting point, no orientation, no true north to understand how to go forward. The wisdom of God gives us that. That God says, I give you these things. But that was just the start. He said, I'll give you this. We receive a righteousness. What is that word? A lot of ways to describe it. A right standing before God. We become who we should have been and how God always viewed us to be. When you receive Christ Jesus as Savior, we become as Christ always intended us to be. We made a heart decision to receive Christ. Think about it. In that moment, we became who we were meant to be. And I thought about this in the first service. What does that do for us? For me, maybe there's a better way to say it. When I receive the righteousness of Christ and I walk in a righteousness that's not of my own, that settles a status before God. I'm not trying to achieve, placate a holy God, trying to get it right day in and day out. It's exhausting. Yeah, we try to honor him and live and obey, yes, but not to be right. Folks, it's the righteousness of Christ that makes you and me right before a holy God. We receive that. Is that an accomplishment? Go, you attaboy? No, thank you, God, for what you gave me, that I received this and I have this status. Why is a status that, like that so important? It allows you and me to live and to love and to serve today as we were always intended to be. I'm able from a platform of security to reach out and love other people securely. But that wasn't the end of it. I just had so much fun in this, it just kept going. God said, I gave you this. I gave you my holiness. Now, I really can't bear down on everything I started reading and studying, but that was a whole lot of fun. Because when we receive Christ and we allow him into our lives to start cleaning up shop, and that's what he does. We receive Jesus' nature through the coming Holy Spirit. I mean, we already have a sinful nature, and we know what that can do, right? Right? We all know what the sinful nature can do. But we're given a brand new nature. The very nature of Christ himself. And as I started going through it, I thought, wait a second. We refer to Jesus Christ as the incorruptible seed. Think about it. That would just, now we understand we have a, you know, he was born of woman but not of man. Unable, unable to be corrupted. That very nature is given to you and me. It's not that a boy, good job, you finally figured out how to get to an incorruptible nature. No, it was given to us. Why is that important? Because that nature cannot be habitually corrupted in any way, shape, or form. Yeah, you and I have struggled with the flesh intermittently, but as that spiritual nature inside of you and me grows and begins to take over ownership of this place that we've given a heart for, we become more and more like Christ every single day and more pure. Is that something you go, man, I'm walking in purity. Attaboy. No, thank you, God, that when I chose to receive you, I chose to believe in that nature that's inside of me. I chose to, not compromise, that's the wrong word, can you come to mind? When I cooperate, there it is. When I chose to cooperate with the Spirit inside of me, I'm literally have the capacity to grow more pure every single day. That's a gift given to us. But he wasn't done. Last one. I'll give you my redemption. The old, maybe it's still today, I just put in the recycle bin. The old bottles I was growing up, you could turn them back in for a nickel. It was redeemed. You could buy, the company would buy it back. That's what redemption is. You and I have been bought back by the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Anybody thankful for that? You couldn't do it yourself, and neither can I. Not a one of us can do that. We have that redemption. So I thought to myself, God has been using his wisdom, his righteousness, his holiness, and his redemption to recreate you, to restore me, and for his good works to be done in and through our lives. Why do we say it's important that we understand the difference between accomplishment and choice? Because the Bible answers it for us. Look at the verse he says. Go ahead and put it up. Therefore, it is written, let the one who boasts, boast where? Boast in the Lord. If the attaboy goes somewhere, it goes up. Make sense? That's what I'm having to get through my head in that moment. Folks, you and I have something to celebrate. It's the wisdom of Christ manifesting in your life and mine. Make no mistake, for me, the cross was never intended to be gilded in gold. Yeah, we did it. It was a torture rack. It was an instrument of torture. It was a symbol of death. But when you and I, whoever it is in this room I'm speaking to, those of you online, we surrender our lives to Jesus Christ on the cross there, our lives change. And they change radically, and it's just God's way. So right now, I want to turn this over to Pastor Jeff and Orange. And Jeff, we're going to do things a little bit differently, but we're going to be celebrating. God bless you today. Those the rest of you go stay with me online. God bless you, Jeff. Now listen to me for just a minute. As Nate said at the beginning, and how all this meant just radically changed, because we planned this for months, and then I got in this scripture, and I thought, oh, Lord, your timing is perfect. The staff of all of our campuses and online as well, we said we wanted to celebrate and honor our ministry partners, especially over this past year, as many have found brave as much as they could do, found ways to serve as they could, whether it be in person or at home, to serve and to connect communities and empower people, which is part of our vision, to make Jesus known. To do this throughout the pandemic has taken bravery, it's taken intentionality, and we wanted to say thank you. So at Culpeper and Orange today, that's what we're going to do. So for right now, we've created a video. It's a self-instructional video. I don't have to set it up. When you watch this, those of you at home, I'm going to ask you to do this. When you see your team name, we're going to put all the ministry teams, some are broadly graded, some are narrowly graded, onto the screen. When you see the name of your team, if you have served during this year of the pandemic, from March last year until now, we're going to encourage you to stand when you see it. For those of you online, we're going to encourage you to chime into the chat so others can see that you're there. Watch this and respond accordingly, which means you can't look down. You got to be watching the screen. Enjoy this. Wow. Well, that's a lot of fun. Doing that, there we go, in here. But one, the fun of being able to see, oh, they actually serve on that team? I didn't know they served in that ministry. We just want to say thank you. And I tell you what, the accomplishments have been real throughout the pandemic. The pivoting that you've had to do, the putting up with the staff as we're having to change things week to week, moving things around back and forth. We say thank you. Now, I'll go back to the parenting thing for a minute as I continue this and kind of wrap it up, because this passage of scripture really had me look differently at ministry partners. And so we did this intentionally still because there were a lot of good things accomplished. But remember the parenting phrase that I brought up? Go ahead and put it back up. There it is. Praise accomplishments, strengthen behaviors. Nothing wrong with that. But praise choices, strengthen the hearts. I started thinking about what the Bible says, that Jesus had become the wisdom of God and he becomes our righteousness, our holiness, our redemption. And I realized that, why do we share with people? What was it that brought us to a place where we needed Christ? We knew we were spiritually bankrupt. There may be somebody in here today that recognizes, you know what, without Jesus, maybe I've never used that word before, but I am literally spiritually bankrupt. There's not enough attaboys and attagirls that are going to get me in the kingdom of heaven by my accomplishments. Nothing. I'm in desperate need of Christ. So I thought about those words a little bit more, and I realized that we can't have righteousness. We can't have the righteousness of Christ without denying our own self-righteousness. We can't have the holiness of God without confessing our sin. We can't have his redemption without owning up to the fact that we're in bondage. And I realized that that's what happens. And suddenly I imagined, which I love seeing that moment to get a glimpse, because it was just imaginary in my mind until you stood up, all the ministry partners, or any of you that serve the Lord in some way. And suddenly I realized I'm not looking at accomplishments at all. I started looking and realized, you know, every one of you that stood up, those of you that choose to serve the Lord in whatever capacity is here, somewhere else, through your family, that you literally are walking miracles of God. You are the wisdom of the cross magnified for the world to see. Folks, it is you standing up says, man, I celebrate the choices some of you started making when you were 7 and 8 and 9 years old. Choices, you said yes to Jesus and no to sin. Yes to not going to that party and yes to studying or going to BSU, whatever it was. And every decision you've made has brought to a place where you were standing up saying, look, I'm in a place that out of where I am at today, I'm able to serve somebody else. And so I realized that when you're serving, it's the wisdom of God, it's the righteousness of God, it's the sanctification of God on display. And the beauty of this is this, for me. Our ministry partners is not all about, did I really do a good job teaching the kids today? Or our youth, or adults? It's not as, am I really good? Do I smile enough when I greet? Do I hug strong enough or tight enough when I hug? Which, yeah, we really like, I like hugs, so bring them on. You know, are we sophisticated enough in our IT, our EV skills? No, folks, when you serve, remember this. You are the wisdom of God on display for the world to see. That's what you are. Not like, did I do good enough today? That's the accolade. That's the accomplishment. But I made a choice. I've made a myriad of choices. And I realized that today, when you stood up, in a pandemic where everything's been a little bit blurry and everything's on top of its head, you've been on display in this church in Ultra HD 4K for the last year. And we as a church staff say thank you. So yeah, we're going to clap, and that we have. We celebrate and we acknowledge. We even look at the accomplishments that's been accomplished as we pivoted all year long. But whether you stood, I end with this verse, but whether you stood or whether you didn't, whether you served publicly or whether you served the Lord privately, at the end of the day, not many of these. Yeah, we all need that. But at the end of the day, don't forget. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts, do what? Boast in the Lord. He deserves every bit of it. Amen? Give him the praise. Give him the praise. Yeah. Let's pray together. Father God, we're just saying thank you. Thank you, Lord, that by the choices that you have been watching us make, and yeah, we've made stupid choices too. Debilitating decisions we've made. But your grace and your mercy abound, oh God. And you've been there with us and you're walking with us. And Father God, we are the wisdom of the cross on display for the world to see. God, we are your walking accomplishment. That's ultimately who we are. And we desire, Lord, to proclaim that, not in arrogance or egotism before the Lord, but in humility, Lord God, to remind others that, Lord, you're present and you're available and you redeem and you make new and you transform and you change. And we're living expressions of the miracle of the cross. What a gift, God. Yeah, we celebrate accomplishments, Lord, and there have been so many in this church over the last year. But God, today, for just a moment, I think I'm going to align closer with you when I say, Lord, today, Lord, we're thanking you for the choices that you've helped individuals in this church to make over the maybe decades that bring them to a place where they stand and they serve as the miracle that they are. God, thank you for the miracle, not only of our salvation, but who we're becoming as a result of that salvation. Father, thank you for this day. There may be some in this place today that may be heard for the first time, as I preached a little while ago, Lord, when I say, but God chose. Maybe there's someone here online right now that never has been able to say to themselves, I don't know if I've ever realized that God chose me, that God's pursued a relationship with me. I thought I've just had to figure out on my own, and maybe I haven't done a good job of it, but today I recognize God's pursuing me and God's chosen me and he wants a relationship with me. If you come to that revelation for the first time, then I'm going to ask you before you ever put the key in the ignition to go home. Stop somewhere right here or sitting in your car and say, Lord, I surrender. I recognize, Lord God, that I'm in bondage to my own sin. And I'm in need of redemption. And God promises, because he's already made it possible through Christ's victory on the cross, that he'll redeem you out of that bondage of sin and he'll give you a brand new life, an eternal life. And he'll put his spirit inside of you. That's what he says he'll do right this minute for those who choose to make that decision. So I encourage you simply to say to him, Jesus, I want you in my life. For the first time in my life, I'm confessing by faith, asking and inviting Jesus Christ, God's Son, forgive my sin. Remove from me the shame and the guilt that has gone along with every poor decision I made. And may I stand on the decision today that first you chose me, and by faith, God, I choose you. Lord, for those in this room who've been believers maybe at least a week, maybe decades, God, remind us of the sure footing that we have in Christ, that we've been redeemed, Lord God, and made brand new. And from that sure footing, Lord God, that we can stand and hold our heads high no matter where we've done, where we've been, what we've done, that we're forgiven people. We want to walk with you by faith. So Father God, as we come and sing this last song, may we do so with just a public declaration that we believe that, Lord, you and you alone deserve all of our boasting, all of our gratitude, and all of our worship. We simply are the walking miracles of your wisdom. And as walking miracles, we want to praise you for what you're doing in our lives. So we thank you. Hear the praises that we lift up now, Lord. And all of God's people said, amen. Stand with me, would you? If you believe that you're that walking miracle, declare to him today your gratitude in your heart for that. If you're giving your heart to Christ, you have a prayer that you want someone to pray with. We had quite a few at the first service come, and I'm thankful for that. Come forward. There'll be people here to pray with you right now. Let's sing.